Acting National Intelligence Director Joseph McGuire faced 3 hours of questions this morning from the House Intelligence Committee. McGuire spoke on Capitol Hill about whistleblower allegations stemming in part from a July phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. A rough transcript of that call shows President Trump asking Zelensky to find potentially damaging political information about former vice president, current presidential hopeful Joe Biden, and his son. Also today, a redacted text of the whistleblower complaint was released, which in some ways may have overshadowed that testimony. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, so much going on in the last 24 hours or so, Paul. What is, I'll throw an open question to you. What do you have your eye on? What has stood out to you the most?
Well, there's so much stuff going on. It's kind of hard to focus on one particular thing. But I think really the biggest thing today was that the public does now have most of this whistleblower complaint out in the open. And I think there's a few interesting things in there that give the House of Representatives more avenues to go down as part of their impeachment inquiry. So I think that was probably the biggest thing today, and certainly the testimony by the Director of Intelligence as well as Michael Atkinson behind closed doors in the Senate were both very important stories as well today. So a lot going on for sure.
In his testimony, Joseph McGuire said that the whistleblower, in effect, was credible. We have the whistleblower redacted version of the whistleblower report. It seems to match up well with the transcript of this call between the between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. So does that lend credibility to the other parts of the whistleblower report, the ones that weren't directly in that transcript?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things with credibility. One, as you just mentioned, the whistleblower complaint really detailed that call quite well now that we have not a transcript but a memorandum of the call itself. It tracks that quite well. But also in McGuire's testimony today, he did not say anything that indicated that he had, you know, real questions about the whistleblower or thought that he was a political hack or anything like that. There were some questions to that degree. And instead, he backed up the whistleblower and said, it's really important to protect this person, and I'm proud of that person for coming forward. So that adds some additional credibility to the whistleblower complaint.
Well, I want to get a taste of the hearing. Here's House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff from California, a Democrat, talking to McGuire about the urgency of the whistleblower complaint.
Can we also agree that it was urgent that if the President of the United States was withholding military aid to an ally, even as you received the complaint, and was doing so for a nefarious reason, that is to exercise leverage over the President of Ukraine to dig up manufactured dirt on his opponent, can we agree that it was urgent while that aid was being withheld?
There are two things.
I'm talking about the lay, the common understanding of what urgent means, because Inspector General said this was urgent, not only in the statutory meaning, this was urgent as everyone understands that term. Can we agree that it was urgent?
It was urgent and important, but my job as the Director of National Intelligence was to comply with the Whistleblower Protection Act and adhere to the definition of urgent concern, which is a legal term.
And that points to some of the concern over why the whistleblower complaint wasn't brought to Congress sooner until well after they had requested it and complained about it not being provided. Questions also raised about why the people being complained about, in effect, in the whistleblower report, which included the president and in part elements of the Justice Department, got a look at the whistleblower complaint to decide what to do with it, Paul.
Yeah, and so on that second point, there was a direct question to McGuire saying, did you talk to the president about this before it was released to Congress and the public? And he didn't answer the question, or he refused to answer the question, which was an interesting response and I think one of the more important things to come out of this. He kind of said, well, I talk with the president all of the time, given my position, but refused to answer that specific question. I think on the other point, too, in terms of why wasn't this whistleblower report given to Congress earlier, there was some real questions about whether executive privilege had actually been invoked at any point, which McGuire didn't quite answer that question, but doesn't seem like that was the case. But I think from his perspective, the concern was, well, this involved a conversation between the president of the United States and the president of a foreign country, and so I'm very hesitant to release materials that touch upon that, given the confidentiality of those sorts of conversations that need to happen in the executive branch. So I think it was a lot about hesitance to go forward with that, at least until the president voluntarily turned over the memorandum of the call itself.
In that redacted whistleblower complaint that's public now, 2 points that went beyond that phone call. One was the idea that the whistleblower said they understood that senior administration officials recognized that this call would not reflect well on the president and wanted to keep it under wraps. And the whistleblower claims they transferred storage of records of this call and apparently others, again, according to the whistleblower, not where they usually would, but in a classified, a more classified, more secure system that's usually for national security information, not for politically sensitive information. I'm guessing House Democrats really interested in that part of the complaint.
Yeah, and that invokes a number of things. I think, number one, it invokes the Nixon investigation over Watergate and potential claims of obstruction of justice. And so I think that brings to mind that, number one. And also, number two, it brings to mind the Hillary Clinton email scandal and how a lot of Republicans had, of course, criticized her for her email practices. And this ties into that, or at least it seems like the shoe's on the other foot now. So Democrats will certainly be interested in that. In addition, the complaint also has identifies a number of additional people who may have been involved in that phone call with the Ukrainian president, who I think Democrats are going to be very interested in following up with these people as well and potentially having them testify.
Talking to Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, with the latest in the fire hose of news related to President Trump, the Ukraine scandal, people are using the word now, and testimony before Congress today. Oh, and the impeachment inquiry. So we got a caller. Steve is with us in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the frustrating things that I find is really the selective outrage that's out there. You know, it's kind of testifying that he talked with the president, but found it interesting that he wouldn't answer the question. While newsflash, they never answered the question. Every single one of Obama's people that testimony has cited the same thing. So the selective outrage is just so telling.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. The line broke up there a couple times, Paul, but Steve, I think saying, okay, President Obama's cabinet members and other officials refused to answer particular questions before Congress. Why should we be upset now when this acting director of national intelligence does the same?
Yeah, and I think the one of the important points here is to realize that the impeachment inquiry and the impeachment process itself is inherently political. It's not a legal process, it's a political process. And because of that, especially in our highly polarized times, it's to be expected, I think, that you're going to have Republicans, in this case, rallying with the president, Democrats with Obama, and then have the situation be reversed when the parties change. And so it wasn't particularly surprising, I think, today to see a certain selective outrage coming from Democrats versus Republicans when we've seen, the opposite occur during the Clinton years, during the Obama years, and on and on. And it really gets down to the point that at the end of the day, this is inevitably a highly political process.
Thanks for that call, Steve. President Trump has been reacting to the whistleblower allegations. The LA Times released audio of President Trump talking here to the U.S. delegation to the U.N. about what should be done about the person who passed along the information. Here's a listen. Apparently somebody recorded this at that event.
I want to know, who's the person that gave the whistleblower? Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? With spies and treason. we used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
Now, some people have read that as trying to send a message to people in the diplomatic corps and elsewhere in government to not reveal information, to not share this kind of information with Congress or others.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of Democrats in particular have said, well, you know, those sorts of comments just make it more likely that whistleblowers won't come forward with this sort of information in the future. I think from Trump's perspective and from many Republicans' perspective, they're trying to get a handle on this narrative and say, you know, well, there were a number of people within the intelligence community, you know, what they call the deep state or the Washington swamp, who were against them. And so they're trying to push back against that. But I mean, those sorts of comments from the president certainly aren't going to tamp down the drive among many Democrats to look further into this.
And the president and supporters saying, hold on, this is a story about Joe Biden and his son. We're just trying to get legitimate information about them. What do you make of that side of the story?
Yeah, and again, it's trying to turn around the where the focus is currently, which is on the president, to you know, who Republicans see as a political opponent. So again, it's especially at this relatively early stage when news is flying around everywhere, the narrative is a big part of how this is going to go. And so Republicans, and you saw this a bit during the McGuire hearings as well, they're trying to create this counter narrative that to focus on Biden because, you know, so far, and we don't know exactly where this is going to go, but with these various stories coming out, it's not exactly great for the president.
In our last few moments, Paul, what are you watching for next?
Yeah, I think it's going to be there's going to be a number of hearings and a number of actions taken by the House of Representatives to move this story forward and get more information. For instance, I think probably the most important piece coming forward is going to be about whether there was any obstruction of justice here, you know, moving emails to a private server, for instance, that I think there's a lot of details to this story that are left to be out. So how the House goes about collecting that data is going to be very important.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, looking at today's testimony from Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire in front of a House committee. And by the way, at 7 tonight, join us for an NPR special with more of the latest on the hearing and the ongoing impeachment inquiry process.